Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. In today's program, we look back on episodes of the past year and bring you a compilation of some of the show's most memorable segments. We begin with the High Commissioner of Canada, Ms. Sandra McArdle, who remarks on women's inherent leadership capability and the need for women to support other women, reminding us of Madeleine Albright's quote, that there's a special place in hell for women who don't help each other.
I guess, first of all, I see women leadership as completely natural. You know, when I spent most of my career in the Middle East and in conflict areas, which were very male-dominated. And I guess the thing that always struck me was that even in those sort of very masculine environments, women leadership is inherent in every, first of all, in every woman, but it responds in the subconscious of everyone. Everyone listens to their mother. And I think there's something deep in us that responds to the female expression of authority, not only because as children we are taught to listen first and foremost to the mother, but also because there is a sense that woman's authority comes with a sense of caring and team and collegiality. So I would say that I think that it's something that we need to recognize is absolutely fundamental in all of our societies. When I was in, you know, recently at the AIDS conference in Durban, and there was the grandmothers advocating, you know, the ones who've looked after their orphan grandchildren. And I was struck about how fundamental this expression of feminine leadership is. It's within the family. It's within society. It works together. It sees a need and fills a need. And so I think it's something that we should be very proud of. Now, I think one of the other challenges in some cultures and societies, well, let's not say it's all, is to now get that, what is inherent in our structure as human society, and get that expressed, you know, outside the home and outside the family. And I think that's where the challenge lies, is that we sometimes fail to recognize women's roles outside of that family unit. So I see women's leadership as something that is incredibly powerful and has the real advantages of being based in the most first and fundamental relationship that young children have with any adult, and because it brings together the group in a way that traditional male leadership does not.
And in many of the conversations that I've had with women about leadership, one of the common factors has been this perspective of inclusivity. Mm. And consultation.
Absolutely.
And hearing everybody's points of view. And sometimes I don't know if it's because they've made a point of acknowledging a person, that their voice has been heard, that what they're saying will be taken into consideration when the overall decision is made.
I think that's a big part of it. I think as well that women are used to being part of a broader support network in the way that men are traditionally expected to be strong independently. I know within my own foreign ministry, from the time that I was a junior officer, we decided we'd have sort of a informal networking of lunches and coffees and sharing of experiences. So I think women are used to that. I very much subscribe to Madeleine Albright's view. I think she was the one that said that there's a special circle of hell for women that don't help other women. And so I think that there is a natural support system of women helping each other to succeed. I think as well that that and the diverse roles that women are expected to play mean that women are much more attuned to the needs of the entire group. And when the group not only being a peer or the manager, but in the sort of the work environment, the employees as well, I think they're much better able to assess their employees for who they are in their entirety, what their strengths and weaknesses are as a person, and to draw the best out of them. I think that that is works very well. And absolutely, the willingness to listen and to have the success be the success of the group rather than the success of the individual.
Staying with the theme of female leadership, the Ambassador of Norway, Ms. Trine Skeeman, relays details of the current financial loss sub-Saharan Africa incurs as a result of women being excluded from economic participation. She also shares some of the successful policy interventions undertaken by Norway to drive gender equality in the corporate sector.
Well, I would definitely want to see more females in leadership positions. I think that what we see, we spoke earlier about the loss that you have if you don't educate, you know, the economic loss that you have if you don't educate the young girls at the same level of young boys. But did you know that sub-Saharan Africa could add $700 billion to its economy if women were to play an identical role in labor markets to that of men? That's also a lot of money. And I think if we can look at how we can increase the female participation in business life, in parliament, in all walks of society, I think we will see that we will get all gain from it. You know, I think there are some perhaps men who are afraid that if women are given more power, the men would lose their power. You know, but it's not a zero-sum game. This is gender equality and women empowerment is something that we all gain from. And I think that's important to keep in mind. It makes our societies richer and better, and that is something that we all gain from. Sometimes we have to take measures. You know, we cannot just wait for it to happen. We have to make it happen. I think that legislative or other measures are useful in order to, you know, in the shorter term, because as I said, if we're going to wait for it to happen by itself, it's going to take us years. If we carry on the way we do now, it will take 79 years to achieve gender parity in the workplace, and that's 2095. So we can't afford to wait that long.
Neither you nor I will, I think, be around in that period. And I'd love to see this moving in my lifetime.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, there are things that it's sometimes controversial, but it helps. I will give you an example for what we have done in Norway.
Please do.
And that was in 2006. We introduced a law that said that there has to be at least 40% representation of women or men, you know, if there are more women than men on the boards of all companies listed on the Norwegian Stock Exchange. So it meant that all the boards had to have at least 40% women. And the business community said, oh, no, we can't do that. We would love to have women there, but you know, they are not competent, you know, they're not qualified. We have tried to find them, and, you know, they are just not enough qualified women. But then now with this law, they had to find the women. And you know how they found them? They were forced to look beyond their old boys' network. You know what I mean? It's you look for a leader, and you look for somebody like yourself. And because they were mostly male leaders, they looked for other male leaders. But this time, they had to look beyond their own network. What happened in our case was that in parallel, because the business community saw that this was going to happen, so they had to deal with it. And they had to stop overlooking and sidelining capable female candidates. At the same time, the Business Federation took responsibility, and they said, okay, we're going to introduce a program that builds the capacity, finds the young or not so young women who are eligible to be board members, and let them go through the program, capacity building, competence building, and then we create a network of female candidates for board positions so that when the men come back and say, there are no candidates, then we can say, well, yes, there are. Because they are here. We have this pool. We have this network. By doing that, you also increase the numbers so that you avoid a situation where it's just the same ones. But it's not something that can happen overnight. But with measures like this, I think it can happen more quickly than it would have otherwise.
You are listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance.
Hi, my name is Yvonne Chaka-Chaka, and I'm UNICEF and Rollback Malaria Goodwill Ambassador. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in the struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy. A program against social ills such as racism, socio-economic class division, and gender-based violence. Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Balka every week on this day at this time.
You are listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31 meter band, also available on DSTV channel 802. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In today's program, we reflect on episodes of the past year with extracts from some of the most memorable shows. Next, Miss Geraldine Fraser-Moleketi, currently the Special Gender Envoy at the African Development Bank and former Minister of the Republic of South Africa, highlights the impact of infrastructure deficits in Africa on women and the opportunities for women to take up vital roles to build and sustain the continent.
Women are, well, firstly, they're responsible for 75% of the agricultural labor force. We know that they produce up to 80% of food outputs, yet they earn between 30 and 50% less than men. They also work 50% longer hours than men, and they control less than 25% of agricultural land holdings. We also know that they are 28% less likely to own a formal bank account. And they form about 75% of the poor and vulnerable populations in regional member countries, or let's say African countries. I think that will suffice. Now, I said during the summit, and I will repeat it today, that the women have almost become the living infrastructure on the continent, in the sense that women carry firewood where there is no energy, and women carry water and so on. We've also seen the high levels of exposure to smoke inhalation, indoor pollution, and so on. And this is what we want to turn around. Now, for that turnaround, there's a number of things to happen. First and foremost, and you've mentioned this, we'd like to ensure that our girls and boys remain in school across the African continent. We'd not want girls to be married off at an early age. And here we're talking about teens and preteens. And it's important, as we keep them in schools, also to ensure that we bring them into the STEM subjects, science, technology, engineering, and math. And we need to create an environment that will encourage girls and boys to remain in these courses. As we speak today, I mean, you attest to the fact that when you look at South Africa, we're not doing well on math, and this is for boys and girls. And we need to turn it around because we want women and the younger people to come in and own construction companies. We want them to be able to run the trucking companies that are taking produce to our mines and so on. We want them to be involved in the large energy projects across the continent.
Former Minister of Human Settlements and current Member of Parliament, Ms. Cornelia September, stresses the importance of education as a primary tool to shape and grow the Africa of today and tomorrow.
I think what is important is that the African continent finds itself in one of the most exciting periods, a period of recognition, a period of that in Africa
we do not have to apologize for who we are, that it is possible that from the womb and the belly of the African continent, many great leaders were born, many thinkers were born, and that we have been able to, we have enabled so many things to happen, not only in our continent, in the world at large. And so the confidence that I want to instill into young people out there, don't forget this past and this history. Learn from it, because it enables us to go forward. But as we do go forward, we understand where we come from and what needs to be done. And I want to encourage them that, yes, it is nice to have a good life. Yes, it is great to have hip-hop. It is nice. Those things are not bad because we love them also. But it's good to have priorities in life. And it is good to understand and realize, where do I want to be? Where am I going to? What sacrifices am I prepared to make to go where I should be? And what is it that I can contribute to make those changes that needs to be? And what does it require from me? And the sense of the collectiveness, collectivism, that will enable me to do those things. And education, 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 for me, is the most powerful weapon that can make all of that happen. It is the enabler. It makes things possible. It will take you around. It is the aircraft. It is the ship. It is the car. Education is that vehicle that will be able to bring about those changes for all of us. I am still educating myself as I speak now.
You are listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance.
Hi, this is Lyra, South African Afro-soul singer and songwriter. You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Malka on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy.
You are listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band. Also available on DSTV channel 802. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In today's program, we feature extracts from some of our guests in 2016. We begin the next segment with Helen Ziller, the Premier of the Western Cape, former Mayor of Cape Town, and former leader of the Democratic Alliance, who illustrates that true female empowerment and the freedom for women to make autonomous decisions is only possible with education.
Well, if we want genuine women's empowerment, we have to make sure that every little girl can get an education and can make choices that empower her life. I say that freedom is the opportunity to live a life you value, and I don't think that you can live a life you value if you're a mother by 15, if you have no education or prospect for economic freedom, if you remain dependent on social grants and on the goodwill of the father of your children who may or may not want to be with you. And so to really liberate women, what we need to make absolutely sure of is that girls go to school, that girls stay at school, and that girls have a chance of tertiary education before they make their own autonomous decisions about who to partner with and whether or not to have children. Until women have control over that aspect of their lives, the thrust towards genuine empowerment of women is going to be very limited indeed. Currently, the whole thrust talks about quotas at the top and ignores the millions and millions of women who have no chance of even getting on the first rung of the ladder. If we enable all women to get onto that ladder and hold that ladder firmly so that they can climb it, many, many more women will come out at the top. What we first have to address is young girls dropping out of school. We have to address the sexual predation that so many young girls face from peers their own age, but often intergenerationally, which is a really shocking phenomenon in our society. We have to face the fact that our social norms on what is appropriate to do with young girls are falling apart, and we have to resurrect them. I mean, having sex, even if it's consensual with an underage girl, is totally unacceptable. And we as a society, with parents and institutions and values and norms, need to ensure that every possible young woman has the opportunity to finish her education before she makes an autonomous decision to have children, because that is empowerment. Education is the only ladder out of poverty for a woman. And if you are trapped in no education and have to live on a social grant, which has to be limited because, in fact, the number of people on social grants is far higher than the number of people actually working, almost double, in fact, that creates an impossible situation. And so people who live on social grants will be always in poverty. Our job is to grow the economy, get more people into the economy, and I genuinely believe that if we solve the supply side of doing that with educating women, we will transform not only the prospects for girls and women, but also transform our whole society.
Next, Ms. Nolutando Mayende Sibiya, who is currently South Africa's ambassador to Egypt and was South Africa's first minister of women, children, and persons with disabilities, calls upon women to unite and lift others as they rise.
I wish to say to all women out there, especially young women, that we are now into 21 years of democracy. South Africa has achieved a lot in this period, even though there are still many challenges that remain. Let's stand together, let's rally together and stand up as women and to address all the issues that are affecting our society. There are many opportunities that are there. Grab them. You know, even if you don't believe in yourself, you know, others will make you, will build you up to be the best that you can be in whatever field you are. So go, the sky is the limit for young people. The terrain in South Africa is open, you know. And young people, young women, must see themselves as a future president of this country one day. Future ministers, who knows, you understand? And future CEOs, we want to see them. You know, in my old age, I wish to see more women, you know, coming up and occupying. You know, when I grow older, I hope to see this more and more in our society. So the sky is the limit. They participate also in organizations that you believe in, you know, whether it's NGOs, whether it's political organizations and so on. That is where you learn to grow and you learn about discipline. That is where you learn about empowering yourself and others, and also caring for others, a selfless giving to others and the nation is important. So it's not about just about us, you know, I want to see myself then, so see others also, bring others up instead of bringing them down. So that's the message I would like to, you know, that's unity, that's speaking of one voice, that, you know, fly, you know, fly and the wings, you will have the wings to do the many things that you want to do. So I believe that it is possible for everybody.
You are listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance.
Hi, I'm Zonke Dikana, a South African Afro-soul musician, songwriter, and producer. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance.
You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band, also available on DSTV channel 802. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In the last segment of today's show, Professor Vicky Crittenden reminds us that every person has the potential to make a valuable contribution to society.
I think I will step back to a role model that I have, and this is someone whom I've never met. She's no longer alive today, but I read one time about Mary Kay, and this goes back to the direct selling, but Mary Kay always said, one woman can. And when I first read that, and even today when I say that, I get chill bumps on through. I feel them reverberating through my body right now, because Mary Kay always said, one woman can. And I hear that, and I look at myself, and I hope that someday people look at me and say, yes, Vicky Crittenden showed that one woman can make a difference. And I hope they add that on by another Mary Kay slogan or comment that she made, is that when you look at every person, imagine that that person is wearing a sign around her or his neck that says, I am important. Because when I look at every person, I look at that and I say, that person is important, and it's my responsibility to feed that importance, to let that person know that I too think they're important. And I think that ties in very clearly to that one woman can make that difference. And we can make that difference by making sure that every other person we engage with feels important too.
We close today's show with renowned South African businesswoman, Dr. Judy Dlamini, imparting invaluable life tips based on some of the factors that she attributes to her success.
My parents, definitely. My parents... My mother had a dad who didn't believe in the education of the girl child. She ran away from home. She went to a Catholic mission. That's how she got educated and became a primary school teacher. So education to her was everything. She worked her butt off. She worked hard. She would supplement her income. She would sell snacks at school. She would come home and knit. She had a knitting machine to sell. She had a sewing machine. My mother just worked. That's all she did. That's all she knew. So that work ethic, I got it from her. My dad, he had to leave school early because his parents died early. He had to support his siblings and nieces and nephews. So he started his own company, small, painting contracting company. And in spite of how small it was, he was able to buy property in the few areas that blacks were allowed to buy property, build flats in those properties, and rent out. So my parents supplemented their income. They were hustlers. I learned that from them. What made me successful? Hard work. Ambition. I was born in Westville. And during our time, it was just after a couple of years after the Group Areas Act was actually promulgated. And people that looked like me were domestic workers. But I didn't see myself as one of them. I saw myself as a doctor. That's ambition. And just having the grit, because I've failed, but each time I fail, I am more determined to prove to myself that I can be what I want to be. So, and forgiving yourself. One of the things I've learned, you know, when you change careers, you actually are not sure of yourself, you mess up, we mess up all the time till death. What's important is to forgive yourself. It's fine. You've made a mistake, you will make a mistake, but you learn from those mistakes. Forgive yourself. And I find that the more you invest in yourself, the better it is and easier to forgive yourself, because I'm not a confident person by nature. So But each time I mess up and I want to beat myself up, I'm like, I did that, I did that. So there's something right about me. So the more you invest in yourself, the more confidence you build and the more resilient you become, because you just say, hang on, I've achieved something. I can beat this one too, the challenge, whatever it is. So yeah, that's how I would unpack it, the way I see what the characteristics have been that made me where I am today. You know, what I've found to be very important is the partner you choose, the life partner you choose. If you, in a very odd way, they influence the journey, your lifelong journey. If you are an ambitious woman and you actually go for someone who's not ambitious, who will pull you down? That's why we have so much abuse. And not only because of the mismatch in the ambition between couples, but obviously because women are undervalued in the whole world, which has to change. But please find someone who will support your ambition. Please don't lose who you are. No one is worth that. Don't sell your soul. There are so many things. We're chasing things. We're chasing money. You're chasing. Just make sure your soul is nurtured and never ever sell it. That's so important, you know. And work hard. And just don't give up on yourself, whatever you do.
We've come to the end of the second part of our special compilation, reflecting on memorable moments from Womanity, Woman in Unity in 2016. I hope that you enjoy the show as much as I enjoyed being with our guests. Happy New Year. You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance.